Last year, Adam and I and a few hundred friends of DeSoto gathered in the Masonic Lodge inside a cemetery in the heart of Hollywood. Were we there to practice some dark rite? Some sinister ritual designed to bring deceased Star Trek actors back to the plane of the living? To bring an unholy horde of undead nerd celebrities to Earth to consume the brains of the living? No, we were just doing our live show of the Share Your Embarrassment Tour. It's our review of Star Trek V, and we filmed it. We just wanted to let you know to get ready for that live stream announcement coming next week. If you're a Max Fun member and you support our shows, you'll get access to discounted tickets from membership at MaximumFun.org. So, good time to make sure those emails are delivering properly to your inbox. Either way, we'll be announcing ticket links soon here and on our mailing list that you can sign up for at podshop.biz. The Share Your Embarrassment Tour is coming to your living room for one last stop, and you're not going to want to miss it. Hey, this is Ben.
And Adam.
And we just wanted to say welcome. We really never planned on any human beings listening to this show. We mainly intended it as an archival record of what dorks we were for some future space civilization to uncover. But I guess it's gotten out on iTunes, and there's been an article now, and man, it just seems like a lot of new people are finding the show.
And personally, that's very humiliating for me and maybe even Ben. But it's also really cool because I think it tells us that there are a lot of people out there like us who are interested in following the show again, picking it up where maybe they hadn't seen it since they were a kid, and sort of laughing with and at its many attempts to entertain us.
Yeah, so we just really want to say we appreciate all the really kind things people have said, especially in iTunes reviews, from a nice thing to say standpoint. From a publicizing the show standpoint, obviously it presents a problem because more people will find out about this shameful thing we are doing the more iTunes reviews we get. So if you're just tuning in now, we're doing the Next Generation in order from season 1 through season 7. So, it's a show that's easy to jump around on, but if you want to start from the beginning, just go back to episode 1. I would say that episode 2 is probably unmissable just because it establishes what Drunk Shimoda is as a element of our series that anybody who's listening is going to want to know what we're talking about. And actually, as a bonus, at the end of this episode, we're going to drop in a pretty amazing rendition of the song Drunk Shimoda that we only imagined in that episode that a listener sent in.
Yeah, that I think was one of the best bits of fun from a really crazy week. It's been pretty wild to see this little show take off. Certainly unexpected and really cool.
Yeah, pretty incredible. So we just wanted to say thanks to everybody who's listening, and also to Kyle or Nosehair515 on YouTube, who sent in the song that we're going to tag on to the end of this episode. Thanks, and let's get the show started.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet. Engage. Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the USS Enterprise. Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the USS Enterprise.
This is The Greatest Generation, a Star Trek podcast by two guys who are a bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. I'm Ben Harrison.
I'm Adam Pranica, and if you want to listen to a podcast about Star Trek The Next Generation where the hosts aren't embarrassed, there are about a million of those out there.
There's so many.
They can, like,
there's like a whole website of like 50 Star Trek podcasts.
And they, I'm sure, are so sincere about their love of the show. They're taking it very seriously. I'm sure they have a ton of listeners, unlike us. I mean, those are just three major differences between this podcast and the others.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, I think ours is a little bit more fun because our ironic distance enables us to kind of, have fun at our own and the show's expense.
Absolutely. Yeah. And look, when you take something really seriously, it's less fun. And I think a great bit of evidence for that is the first 7 episodes of this series.
Yeah.
This is becoming a speech.
You're the captain, sir. You're entitled.
Not entitled to ramble on about something everyone knows.
All right, this episode is The Battle, episode 8.
It's a title that promises something, Ben.
Yeah. It's an overpromise, I would say.
Yeah.
This is their next interaction with the Ferengi, the second of two so far. And the Enterprise is, I guess it starts and they're sort of like in orbit of some planet with a Ferengi ship, and the Ferengi are not really answering hails. It's been like 3 days and they are just saying stand by. Picard is getting some headaches and sort of wondering what's up. And then Wesley runs onto the bridge and announces that there's something approaching from long range, and he was able to detect it because he was goofing around in engineering with the long range sensors.
I love sort of like Geordi running to the front of the ship to get a look at the station from an episode ago. Like the most efficient way to communicate for Wesley at this point is to walk to a turbo lift, get on that turbo lift, go to the bridge.
Well, Wesley definitely has a motive. And Picard scolds him for this.
He calls him out.
Yeah, he's like, you're just trying to get up here so that you can be in the mix when the Ferengi shit starts popping off. And that is not an appropriate way to act.
Yeah, well done.
This is also the debut of the first, like, uniform-esque costume for Wesley, which is not really a uniform, but...
Yeah, rest in peace, orange Coogee sweater.
Yeah.
We're really sorry to see you go.
Yeah. I mean, like, this is a pretty boring uniform, and the next one is even more boring.
You don't see any other person on the ship wear this uniform, though, right? It's sort of like a weird scarlet letter.
It's like he made it up, yeah. Yeah. This vessel that's approaching, turns out, is a Constellation-class starship, and the Ferengi beam over to the bridge of the Enterprise, and the Daemon, who goes by the name Bok, announces that the ship that's coming in is a gift for Captain Picard. And I guess he calls him the Hero of Maxia, and Picard doesn't really know what he's talking about. And Data, with his prodigious memory, recalls that Picard destroyed a unknown vessel in the Maxia system 9 years ago when he was commanding the Stargazer. And he defeated it with a brilliant maneuver that is taught at the Academy now called the Picard Maneuver, where you go to warp right before, I guess, wait, you shoot and then you go to warp and the enemy fires at your ship right where you were coming from.
I think your struggle in describing the Picard Maneuver is pretty standard for anyone watching this episode.
Yeah.
I don't think we're meant to truly understand what it is.
Yeah.
Until they sort of show what it is later on. I mean, I sort of thought the Picard maneuver was something that he did to Wesley.
Yeah, that sort of begs the question, what would the Riker maneuver be?
Well, the one thing I know is it probes deep space.
Yeah. Not something they teach at the Academy. Anyways, stupid fucking Ferengi guy is pretty pissed off at Picard because the ship that he destroyed was in fact a Ferengi ship and was commanded by his son. So Damon Bok's son had just gotten his command and I guess decided to set off into space and open fire on a Federation vessel without any provocation.
Like, this is sort of a Rashomon-esque episode. Like, you get two sides of the same story.
I think that's giving it a lot of credit that it doesn't necessarily deserve.
I'm really trying, Ben. I'm really trying to give some credit here.
The ship that is showing up is in fact the Stargazer, which is a real mindfuck for Picard because they had to abandon it after this Maxia fight. Which you would think, like, he would remember Maxia more clearly if it was where he had to abandon the last ship he was in command of.
Well, when he tells the story to his own bridge crew after the conversation with the Ferengi, he's like, yeah, the battle was crazy and shit was blowing up everywhere. And we ended up bailing out into some shuttlecrafts, and we were in those shuttlecrafts for like weeks. And yeah. then there's a pause and he's like, I hardly think of it anymore, which...
I mean, it's like the most traumatic thing a captain yeah. could go through.
For being like less than 10 years ago, it would be the only thing on my mind all the time if that had happened to anyone else.
Dude is cool as a cucumber, you know? He had to abandon ship, but that was what the situation called for. He doesn't question himself. He's not neurotic at all.
Also, like, they do a scan of the Stargazer, and it's like, yeah, it's just, like, superficial fire damage, but all the primary systems are fully functional, which begs the question, like, why are they bailing out of the ship?
Right.
Does it smell real bad, like fire damage, like a house fire? Maybe they just didn't want to have their clothes all smelly?
Yeah. Well, the exterior of the ship definitely has zero noticeable damage. I guess I was sort of wondering, did the Ferengi, like, fix it up, or, you know, when they salvaged it, did they patch it back together a little bit? Because it's the only thing that could really explain that part.
We know the future economy, like, doesn't care about, you know, the value of things.
Right.
But...
The Ferengi do, though.
There's an entire ship out there that they just cut loose, and they don't even care about finding again. I think that's weird.
A lot of duranium and tritanium, you know?
Oh, and also, like, I guess we wouldn't want that entire starship to fall into enemy hands at any point.
Right. That piece of fucking military materiel.
That any other alien race could reverse engineer into something right. that could be used against them at some point.
It's still fully armed. It has all but six of its torpedoes on board.
Yeah. Good job, guys.
A lot about this backstory is hard to swallow.
It sounds like it's hard to swallow.
Sorry. I had a huge mouthful of peanut butter when we started recording. So
that is not how I prepare for this show. It is a guiding principle with Darth Vader's face. Now, you can't find it within
yourself to stand up, tell the truth. You don't deserve to wear that uniform. So anyways, they beam aboard the Stargazer, and Picard goes and checks out his old cabin, and he's got a lot of, like, books and kind of sentimental items in there. He doesn't notice the giant, like, glowing basketball that's in one of the trunks that's in there.
Do you remember when you were a kid, the pogo ball, the ball with the ring around it, and and you stand on the ring and you jump around? That's what this prop looks like.
Yeah. It looks like something that maybe they were, like, thinking about making be an alien spaceship, but it didn't really come out good enough.
Yeah.
So they went with making it a set prop instead. We'll come to kind of find that this sphere is one of two, and Bach is operating the other one on his ship, and this is the thing that is behind Picard's headaches. And they're kind of getting worse and worse as the episode goes on, and the Doctor can't make heads or tails of it. We see Damon Bach operating it in his quarters, I guess, aboard the Ferengi ship, which is the first time we've seen the Ferengi have anything but blank whiteness inside their ship. These scenes are so funny. It's just Bach, like, sitting by himself in this creepy room with this creepy device, like, cackling like a madman.
Yeah, it's total, like, peak bad guy maneuvering. Yeah. Like, and we get five of these scenes of just cutting to Bach, him, like, looking toward the sky and howling with laughter at the pain he's causing Picard.
So anyways, they pack up all the shit on the Stargazer for Picard and send it to his room, and that somehow includes this device. Like, nobody notices that it's among his personal effects. And
they're able to scan the entire ship and know how many torpedoes are in it and whatnot, but their sensors can't penetrate the Pelican case that that contains this mind-altering device. Like, way to go, guys. I guess that's why they stick Geordi out front to take a look at other ships too. Like,
yeah, just some clear holes in their sensor abilities. Yeah.
I'm glad to see the Pelican cases have a future in a cashless economy.
Yeah, that company's like 800 years old at that point, right?
I believe it. That's industry standard stuff right there.
Yeah.
For any production.
It's a good way to keep your equipment dry and safe.
Yeah.
This episode brought to you by Pelican. A lot of this episode is also confusing because the Ferengi kind of offer this starship up as a gift, and then they're just kind of hanging around, and it's not really clear why. Like, obviously, like, the real reason that they're still there and the real reason that they gave them back the Stargazer is so that this Daemon can exact his revenge on Picard. But they don't, like, ever sort of offer a pretense for why they're hanging around.
Yeah.
And so they're just there, and, like, Wesley picks up low-level signals coming from the Ferengi vessel that they wind up tracing to this orb, and by this point, Picard has beamed himself over to the Stargazer and is in sort of a fugue state, imagining that he's back in the Battle of Maxia, you know, commanding his ghost ship to and all of his ghost crew to attack the Enterprise that he is under the mistaken impression is this unknown vessel. They finally kind of put it all together that this mind control orb has been at the center of it all, and Riker gets on the view screen with Picard and, like, begs him to look around the bridge that he's on and shoot the other control orb with a phaser.
It blows up real big. They bail to a stunt guy, and he's clearly, like, jumping onto a mattress. There's a ton of shit happening in that scene. That's good.
Oh, yeah, it's a good explosion. Like, almost delivers on the promise of the episode right there. Like, it's definitely, like, a good effect. In this scene also, Picard is, like, doing a Picard maneuver on to the Enterprise. So they have to, like, figure out a way to countermand the danger that would put them in. And there's a very funny scene where Riker's like, Data, what's the defense against the Picard maneuver? And Data's like, there is none. And he says, well, figure one out. And he just, like, sits there for a few seconds.
Wesley's like, keeping your clothes on.
Don't let him touch your bathing suit area.
Do not let him near your drink.
I thought that was the Cosby maneuver.
Zappa zappa.
Hit the phasers and the torpedoes.
You go to warp and then you shoot the torpedoes.
You got to let the man shoot the torpedoes, Rudy. Theo.
My love is a fever, long and chill for that which longer nurses the disease. Tell me more, you'll have to go again.
Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. Every mom I have ever given an Aura frame to has absolutely loved it. And that includes a lot of moms I know. This is a gift that I have personally given many, many times. And it's great. I can upload photos from my phone the moment I take them. And that means that mom or grandma out there is going to get pictures of their loved ones delivered to their living room. And right now, Aura is having a great sale for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com and use the code SCARVS at checkout to show your support for our show. Terms and conditions apply. Mother's Day is coming up, and one of the best gifts you can give a mom that you might share a bed with is doing some yard work downstairs, if you know what I mean, with Manscaped.
This season, make sure you groom your carpets and your drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVES at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants to let the mother of your children know how much you appreciate her continuing to put up with you.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to... oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Okay, we're back. We had to cut out 15 more minutes of us doing Cosby Picard. That's
It's funny that that came out in the first post Cosby sweater episode.
Oh yeah. Wow.
Anyways, fun to talk about a serial rapist. Oh geez.
Oh boy. Yeah. That's fun.
Anyways, the Enterprise catches the Stargazer in its tractor beam. Picard phasers his mind control device, and they get on the view screen with Kazago, the first officer of the Ferengi ship, and he reveals that Bok has been taken out of his command because he pursued an unprofitable venture. And I guess the... the Ferengi have been complaining the entire time that Bok gave them the ship for free with no profit involved and all that. So I guess when they realize that it's all just been vengeance and not an actual business venture,
yeah,
they're pretty ripshit with the captain, and they remove him from his command.
There's kind of a cool number one to number one kind of respect knuckles,
yeah,
moment
totally
there. Like, I think this is a good episode for Riker, just in general.
Yeah, the captain is getting put under the influence of an alien fairly frequently at this point in his early career as the second in command of the Enterprise. And I guess he's kind of an old hand at it at this point. He's don't worry. Like, the captain is under an alien mind control device's influence. We will figure this shit out. We will soldier through.
And the rest of the crew also is really used to just letting that happen and not really doing anything about it, not relieving him of command or submitting him to any sort of examination other than just the most cursory exam.
Yeah, the doctor is definitely like not really taking seriously the headache thing at the beginning. Like, she's like barely aware that headaches are even an illness.
Yeah.
When he first brings them up, and then he seems to be like used to getting a headache. He's not like, what is going on? My head, it hurts. It's like a ancient illness, like a headache. You know, it's like he's like, I have a headache, and she's like, oh, what?
It's as if he goes to sick bay covered in leeches. Like she just can't even process the idea.
Yeah. So that's a little weird. Like, there's a scene where she gives him like four or five different medical treatments for these headaches, and then eventually puts him to sleep with some computer chips stuck to his forehead. And it's like nobody is really taking seriously the fact that he has these persistent headaches that they can't account for. and is also acting super weird.
He's talking to the Ferengi through the viewer, and he's like pausing in between sentences and like doubling over in pain. No one thinks to maybe relieve him of command at that point. You know, a fully healthy Riker is just looking at him like, what the fuck? I could do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe Riker is selfishly letting him fall under the influence of the mind control sphere.
Oh. Yeah, you know, we can't rule that out. He's had his eye on that chair for a long time.
Yeah. Like 8 episodes at this point.
Did you get some real, like, Wrath of Khan vibes from this story? Because to me, it felt like a reheated Wrath of Khan storyline.
There's like, definitely a lot of Wrath of Khan in it. And in fact, the Stargazer kind of looks like the ship that they go up against in the Wrath of Khan. I can't remember what the ship is called.
Oh, you're talking about the Reliant, aren't
the
you?
The Reliant, yeah, yeah.
That's a nice little moment of shame for me, just having that one at the ready.
Yeah. I should have known that because I just rewatched Wrath of Khan. The director's cut is out.
So you probably remember then, like, they sort of fall into the same trap as that crew does. Like, here comes a ship they don't recognize. It's not responding to any hails.
Yeah.
They don't put up their shields at any point like they should. Like, maybe doing that would have stopped the signal from getting into Picard's head. Like,
yeah.
Beat for beat, they just sort of let this happen.
There's a lot of... I mean, like, I think that one of the problems with Star Trek's technobabble usage is that you start to establish some rules with the technobabble, and then it, like... they can be conveniently broken whenever the script calls for it. Like, Damon Bach definitely beams off of the Stargazer when its shields are up, which is mm-hmm. not supposed to be allowed.
Yeah.
And so, you have to question, like, would the shields shield this or not? Because it's just, you know, the way the storyline, you know, it wouldn't work with the storyline if they did block it.
Tomok Angelad at Tanagra.
There were a couple of new things that happened in this episode, too. This one felt, to me, very different from the 8 that came before. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Like, in terms of, like, polish,
mm-hmm.
it seemed like they really upped the game a lot in terms of production polish. But one thing I felt like was a big misstep was the musical score, which seemed like it was drawing heavily from, like, Hagar-era Van Halen. Like, it was super synth-heavy. Did you get ahead of that?
There's been a couple of synthy music cues in the series so far that I've noticed a lot of saw waves being employed.
Right. I think this is one of the first instances too of a pre-commercial Riker eye twitch where he sort of turns away from who he's talking to, looks past the camera, and then just sort of like twitches one eye before going to commercial.
Yeah.
And that's something that this show goes to like 1,000 times.
Yeah. The way you broke to commercial in the 80s is it will never stop amusing me because
it's great.
Like, they always like play some suspenseful music and then it just like fades to black and then it fades right back up because I'm watching it on Amazon Prime.
I want to start doing that in real life where I'll have a conversation and then the conversation will come to a natural conclusion and I'll just look past the person I'm talking to and twitch an eye.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, that doesn't work in real life. Hey, Ben.
What's that, Adam?
Who's your drunk Shimoda?
Incredible.
Drunk Shimoda!
My drunk Shimoda for this episode is definitely Picard. I mean, you feel for the guy, he's suffering from these headaches, but, like, you fucking had your mind taken over before. Like, recognize some of the signs, man.
Yeah, and, like, feel free at any point to take some responsibility and maybe relieve yourself of command instead of just hanging on.
Yeah.
God, it's really frustrating. Look, like, the flip side to that is, like, this is the least asshole-y Picard has been, and in a weird way, like, it might be my own personal history with migraine headaches, but I actually feel some sympathy for him as a character in this episode in a way I've never felt it in the episodes that came before. Like, he's a pretty big asshole up until this one. And for some reason, I'm back on his side as a sympathetic character. And maybe it's the headaches, maybe it's something else, but I don't know. Like, I felt for the guy.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely don't like seeing him go through that. I have a runner-up, Drunk Shimoda.
Oh.
Just because there was a line that really made me laugh with Wesley. he kind of barges in on the counselor and the doctor discussing Picard's headaches, and he explains that he's discovered these low-level transmissions coming from the Ferengi ship, and that must be what's causing them. And they run out to, like, go deal with the situation. And after they leave, he goes,
"You're welcome, ladies."
And then he just, like, leans up against the wall and shakes his head and goes,
"Adults."
Oh, God, yeah.
It's, like, such a ridiculous moment. Why did they leave it in?
Yeah. I mean, they had the chance to cut that part out before putting it on Netflix, and... Yeah. I think I would have done everything possible to do that.
They upgraded that scene to HD.
Because that's what we deserve. my drunk Shimoda is, I feel like I've done this before. Once again, it's Beverly Crusher, who I think says verbatim that she's the only one on the ship who can relieve Captain Picard of command.
Yeah.
And chooses not to do so at the expense of everyone, like everyone's safety. So... Great job, Beverly. I think you might be up for a pretty big demotion, like maybe for an entire season coming up. I don't know. Like,
spoiler alert.
Yeah, some of these actions are pretty terrible and I think worthy of punishment. So that's where I'm at. That's who I vote for. Beverly.
Beverly. I am the cutest of all. There are four lights. So our next episode is episode 9, Hide and Q. The Enterprise is once again challenged by the dangerous and powerful Q, who offers Riker godlike powers in exchange for Riker's membership in the Q Continuum.
Man, if you're going to offer anyone the Q powers on that ship, isn't Riker the most dangerous person to do that for?
Easily. Easily. I'm on the record as not being a big fan of Q as a character. I really like John DeLancey.
Yeah, me too.
The guy that plays him. But I just never like Q episodes. So this would be a time when I'd be tempted to invoke a veto on even watching this. But
oh, wow!
I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I sort of, as a rule, want to watch Riker-centric episodes. I think they afford us a great opportunity for humor.
Yeah.
And so I do actually want to see this episode. An episode that describes the Riker character as so paint by numbers, the color is practically dripping off the screen. And if you're talking about Riker, there's a lot of dripping going on, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm sure the first thing he does with his newfound powers is give himself a wiffle ball bat in the pants.
You know, like, if you have access to the holodeck, are the Q powers a little bit disappointing? I guess we'll find out. All right, I think that's about all we have for this episode of The Greatest Generation. I've been one of your hosts, Adam Pranica.
I've been your other host, Ben Harrison.
If you want to, you can chat us up on the Twitters using the hashtag Greatest Gen.
Yeah, don't confuse our use of the hashtag Greatest Gen with all of the people mourning the death of their grandfather who fought in World War II.
Yeah, we've got to share that hashtag with some people.
We're the assholes using that to talk about Star Trek.
Yeah, so be nice to those people, all right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, maybe share one of our priceless Greatest Gen gifts with them. See if it'll brighten their day.
Yeah, that'll really help their mourning process, I'm sure.
Sorry.
Yeah, on that note, our condolences, and we're sorry.
Smartest one, let the boy take over control. Shimoda! Ooh, you make the warp drive hum, warp drive hum. You gave up the ship to a child. Shimoda! Drunk Shimoda.
Take important stuff, stack it up, doesn't give a fuck, everybody's drunk, and Tasha Yar's getting robot humped. Ben, no!
Drunk Shimoda. Drunk Shimoda.